I am ready. I like his socks.
Yeah, he's
got snazzy.
He's got a computer. He should take them up.
Oh, see, he knew what we were doing.
Yeah,
we're
waiting.
Really?
Greg got dressed up for you.
I did, yeah. Like t-shirt.
He shaved a little bit, I could
brushed
tell.
Brushed his beard.
Yeah.
Tommy's hat on. He's got a hat on.
Today's a special day.
All right, well, let's call to order this regularly scheduled meeting of the Board of Commissioners of the Meridian Development Corporation. It's Wednesday, April 24th. I don't know, 30 minutes after 4 o'clock now. We'll go on to roll call. Commissioner Mueller's not here. Commissioner Vlasic.
Here.
Commissioner Bassalon.
Here.
Commissioner DeVere.
Here.
Commissioner McCarville.
Here.
Commissioner Bevin.
Here.
Commissioner Byrne.
Here.
And we have Council Villegas.
That's it.
And Administrator Squire.
Here.
All right. Action items. Confirm the agenda. We have a motion to confirm the agenda. Motion by Commissioner Bassalon, second by Commissioner DeVere. Any discussion? If not, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Sounded unanimous to me. It's approved. The consent agenda, which includes the minutes of the April 10th, 2019 regular meeting and the March 2019 financials and notices of bills paid. Do we have a motion on that?
Mr. Chair.
Commissioner Bevin. By Commissioner Bevin and a second by Commissioner McCarville. Is there any discussion? Now we'll go to a roll call vote. Commissioner Vlasic.
Aye.
Commissioner Bassalon.
Aye.
Commissioner Deere.
Aye.
Commissioner McCarville.
Aye.
Commissioner Bevin.
Aye.
Commissioner Byrne.
Aye.
And I'm an aye as well. So that is approved. On to the Meridian Arts Commission request. Hillary, you want to?
Yeah. Question that still needs to be asked is we need to get permission from you guys to explore the idea of adding an additional building concept to your current branding. We would essentially work with the same vendor who created this existing branding for you for your banners. We would just add a building that represents the Pine Street School. HPC's really just brought this.
So you're just asking if we're okay with adding one more into the rotation.
Yeah.
It wouldn't be on us to pay for it or to do it. Parks Department would be that part.
Yes.
Historic Preservation Commission would be the cost.
Mm-hmm. And I bring the design back to you guys before.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay. Mr. Chair,
I think this is a fantastic idea, because if you look at our banners that are in the islands, well, one set of banners, the other one being replaced, we actually only have three iconic buildings, so one of the buildings needs to be repeated for us to have the two-sided banners. If we have the schoolhouse, we have a fourth iconic building.
Yes, but HPC is only talking about the banners.
But I think for the banners themselves, I think it's a great idea. And it also then ties the school into our downtown as well, which it is a part of, but it's kind of isolated. So it's a great idea.
Do we need any kind of formal action on it, or just nodding heads?
Okay. Yeah, I just wanted to know it was okay and okay. Move forward and get quotes.
I do know that
Trademark's working on another project for us. It might be different people for the Arts Commission. It might be different people that do this type of design work. But I know that they are very busy right now with existing projects, so it might be into the summer.
Mr. Chairman, members of the board, when they did projects for us, they were always quoting about 8 to 12 weeks out, was on the norm. So I can't imagine that it would be any less than just that. But we'll bring it back as quickly as we can.
Okay.
Thanks, Hillary.
Thank you.
I brought printouts of the artwork that was selected for the traffic box ramps. If you guys
want
those, I'll leave them.
Thank you.
Yeah.
There you go.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank
Thanks,
you.
Hillary. Yes, it's the one standalone behind.
Oh, in the back. Okay. All right, on to the next item, item number 6, the proclamation honoring Buford, corresponding resolution 19-010. I think most everybody here knows that this is something we've been talking about doing for a while, but because I've been dealing with my back, we didn't get around to it as quickly as we'd like to, but with Todd's help and some of Ashley's,
Chairman, this is resolution number 19-010, a resolution of the Board of Commissioners of the Urban Renewal Agency of Meridian, Idaho, honoring, commemorating, and expressing appreciation for founding and longtime MDC board member Keith Byrd for his dedicated service to the Meridian Development Corporation and the community of Meridian, and providing an effective date.
Around a long time, worked with a lot of public servants, none as good or, you know, that overmatches Keith Byrd. Keith, from the time I know that I met him as part of this board, I valued not only his judgment, his wisdom, historical perspective, but also his kindness and his friendship.
Okay. Corrections or something? Okay, all right. On to the amended CDBG subrecipient agreement, corresponding resolution 19-018.
Mr. Chairman, members of the board, we've known this has been coming. Last night at City Council was the end of the comment period for the reallocation of the CDBG dollars from the East 3rd Street project into the Carlton Street sidewalk project. What that does is the agreement amends those dollars to be a total of $362,195.11. So the goal is for today is for the board to approve the amendment for this transfer. It'll go to City Council, my understanding is the first Tuesday in May.
Right.
I think we've discussed this to death over the last few months, so Victor was worried coming into this today, but.
Yeah, I was trying to prepare, and Ashley said,
don't worry about it. Yeah, we've been we're tired of this, yeah. Get her done. Unless there's any questions, you can read the title of the resolution.
Yes. Mr. Chair, this is resolution number 19-0018, a resolution of the Board of Commissioners of the Urban Renewal Agency of Meridian, Idaho, approving the First Amendment to the Subrecipient Agreement for Receipt and Use of CDBG Funds for the Construction of Certain Sidewalk Improvements between the Meridian Development Corporation and the City of Meridian. Attached hereto as Exhibit A, authorizing the execution of the amendment by the chairman or vice chairman and secretary, authorizing any technical changes to the amendment, authorizing the administrator to take all necessary action required to implement the amendment, and providing an effective date.
Thank you. Do we have a motion?
Mr. Chair.
Mr. Blassett.
I'll make a motion. We approve resolution number 19-001. There could be some contention on this one. Yeah.
I know.
Rick Ritter was our representative on the Valley Regional Transit Board, and with his resignation from the board, we needed somebody to fill in the spot, and I graciously agreed to volunteer for that. So this is just
a volunteer.
Yeah, you're a volunteer. Yeah.
Chairman, this is resolution number 19-019, a resolution of the Board of Commissioners of the Urban Renewal Agency of Meridian, Idaho, selecting Diane Bevan as the MDC Board Representative to be appointed to serve on the Valley Regional Transit Board and providing an effective date.
We have a motion.
Mr. Chairman.
I move that we approve. So, motion by Commissioner McCarville and second by Commissioner Vlasic. Is there any further discussion? Victor, should you vote on it?
Why not?
Okay.
I think if anything, it like locks you in that you actually consent it.
Contract.
All right. So.
Yes, thank you.
I did But they usually have good lunch
at the time of your life.
They usually have pretty good like box lunches. Consideration of approval to extend the legislative services contract to Scott Turlington through July 31st, and corresponding resolution 19-020.
Mr. Chairman, I'll start and I'll ask Scott to come up and also fill in some of the gaps. As we've discussed over the last month, the ramifications of this last legislative session, there are some ambiguities. Today, regarding the urban renewal legislation that was passed and what the intention was versus what the interpretation of the law is. And so in those conversations with Scott, there is an opportunity to have some influence during the rulemaking process, which will happen this summer. So that was the intention of extending the contract through the end of July in order to be able to ensure that we are represented and have some say as to those interpretations. Scott pulled us aside, Dick, Commissioner Chairman Winder and I, aside before the meeting and let us know that there are some other obstacles potentially in our way. And I would like you, if you wouldn't mind, maybe just to give a quick update on that.
Sure. Could, before you do that, could I ask one question? Sure. So the previous contract, did it expire at the end of March?
At the end of session.
The end of session.
Yes.
So what would be the starting date for this?
April.
April 1st?
It was April 1st.
April 1st. Okay.
Yes,
yeah.
April
1st. So it's essentially
just continuing on.
Okay.
That is correct.
All right. Sorry, go ahead.
No, thank you, Mr. Chairman. So I was actually mentioned that a few things have changed. And I guess this, I'm going to try to do this in a very specific way so that, number one, you don't ask me to leave because it's going to be really boring. But number two, to help you understand a little bit of the what I call the underbelly of government. Okay, so that should have everyone's attention.
Yeah, mine.
And I was hoping Todd would be here because this is all his fault.
Actually, it's all boys' fault.
And he's talking about other levels.
He's talking about state. So what Ashley said initially is correct, that we had a piece of legislation that came through. Some intent was in question on what it was supposed to do. We were going to work that through the Tax Commission. So one of the things that happened in this session, Senate and House, there was a little bit of a few some issues, and the unintended consequence of that is legislation was not passed that continues to authorize all of the rules that allow agencies to run. And what, so I'm going to tell you what that means, because this is where there's a lot of, this is where we get into the deep end of the pool with urban renewal as a whole. So when the legislature passes a law, becomes statute, becomes the law, agencies will often go and they'll do what the law says. However, in many instances, rules have to be written that kind of specify how you do it. And when a rule is written and negotiated, that rule has to be adopted by the legislature the following year. And so with urban renewal, not every single thing that's in statute is has a rule with it, but a lot of how urban renewal operates has rules. And it all ties in specifically for urban renewals with the TIF and how revenue allocation areas operate, because it impacts property taxes. And that gets the Tax Commission involved, because you have a number of layers of taxing districts and how the revenue is expended and where it goes and who gets it. So what that means is I just started looking through all this in the last couple of days, all of the rules that exist for every single agency in the state of Idaho were not reauthorized. So 737 chapters, over 8,000 pages, and 72,000 rules now have to be reauthorized. And the agencies have until July to do that. If the agencies don't reauthorize these rules, they go away. So what that means for the state, I think, is so no, I don't think anyone's Now, it could be. So Medicaid rules, insurance rules, everything that governs how agencies operate and how we're impacted, if the agencies don't republish those, and they're going to be republished as a temporary rule, which would just be awesome if that's all that's required. But now those temporary rules have to again be adopted by the legislature next year. So we've got two hurdles, I think, specifically for urban renewal. Number one is ensuring that a tax commission republishes all of our rules. And I can't tell you exactly how many rules we have today. I'll know soon. And if the commission doesn't republish it, I believe the governor once the rules are republished, then there's a public comment period on every rule, which we're going to want to provide our comments on the rules. That's an important step in this. And then it goes to the legislature next January. The legislature, they don't adopt them. It's the same as not having the rule. And why this is unique is, you know, in our, so far as anyone can tell, in our history, this has never happened. We haven't had the rules reauthorized at the end of the year. A lot of times rules will be rejected, and then you know, the agency has to start over. And so, I was talking with Ashley and the chairman about this kind of before the meeting, because honestly, in the last week, it's for me, it's starting to kind of evolve on what magnitude this is. And I know this is a big deal to you guys, but and for most people at home, but if you're an agency or an industry that operates in the world of has real life impacts and consequences. So, from health and welfare to DEQ to Department of Insurance to Water Resources. This is going to change a lot of things, I think. So what does that mean for Meridian Development Corporation? First off, over the next week or so, I want to have to actually sort of my evaluation of what all the rules are. So I'm going to start out with the assumption that there's a rule in place and we need it. And so we'll look at all the rules and see what they are. And some we may not care about, but I think in general the rules have always helped the agencies operate. And I suspect that other districts now are kind of starting to see this as well. So as we identify those rules, I've got some requests to go sit down with tax commission staff. Staff up to the tax commission. And the tax commission has to actually do it, so what if they don't? And, with the tax commission, right, we don't have a lot of fans, so we have a few there to talk. So, I think there's real reason to get engaged and make sure that we have comments. And I need to find out if we've got, 150 rules, can we provide one set of comments for all the rules, or do we have to address each individual rule? So, those are some questions I've got to get answered, and I'm hoping that the governor's DFM staff can help. I can guarantee you cities and counties, the associations, this is sort of it's becoming more apparent now what this actually means to government. So what I would say is over the next couple of weeks, we'll know what the rules, we'll have a better sense, because we can get them all in. Go through the rules, and as I've read them, I'll be honest, like some of these don't make sense to me. Like, I don't know what it means or what it's trying to do. And so what I want to do is give you a condensed version, kind of bullet point list of what all the key rules are. And then I can find out if all the rules are going to be resubmitted for to be republished. And that all has to be done by July 1st, and then there's the comment period. And I don't know if it's a 30 or 60 day for the public. I think it's 60. We definitely have to go on record with comments, and those will be on the tax commission in this case. one or two.
All of it.
And so it'll be a different environment next year. If one body, and this isn't just urban renewal, this is any agency and any industry. So what that means is if our rules make it there, then I'm sure they all will, hopefully all will know. One body starts in the House, if they reject it, it still goes to the Senate, and then the Senate can approve it. Unlike a law, if one body rejects the law, it doesn't go to the other side. And as a side note, why we're here is because the House passed a bill that said both bodies have to adopt, right? You can't have this offsetting in the Senate. I don't like that idea. The House level really okay. We'll show you guys. That's kind of how it worked out. Actually, a little more elementary than that. But that was, that's why we're here, right? They were upset that they didn't like. So we because we have to start in the House, because this is a taxation issue, that's what's required. We start in the most unfriendly committee known to urban and rural districts, which is the House Revenue and Tax Committee. So we've got obstacles, and they can pick and choose, right? They can decide as it relates to how boundaries are established and how property taxes are. So this is a large issue. I've not reached out to anyone else at other districts yet. I wanted to visit with Ashley first and talk to the board, but I think it would be prudent. This is probably a situation where it makes sense to have all the districts working together. And by the way, this is all CCDC's fault. Let's put that on record. This all really stemmed out of the stadium. Anyway, I think as I looked at this, it's fair to say this was a little disturbing. It's hard to disturb me. It takes a lot, but this is a real issue, not just for us, but this is a real issue for our state, especially indigent care services. I mean, there's a bunch of other areas that we're involved in. We're looking at it going. This is kind of the worst case scenario. So. With that in mind, this is a very timely extension because there's some real things here that we can address that I'll need input from the board on, from Ashley, from comments to kind of help me go through the rules and to the extent you want to understand. So with that, I have any questions or comments or sorry to
ramble. No, that's no, I just.
Mr. Chairman, so this all stemmed, this issue, this all stemmed from this urban renewal bill. This whole thing stemmed from this one.
It had its origins in it, and so because of what they were proposing to do with the urban renewal money in the state and the library, there were some rules early on during the session that involved urban renewal that the House killed, and this was before the state bill even showed up, and so. There was 144 pages of rules, and out of that, there was other agencies, but the urban renewal had about 20 pages of rules just in that. And so we got whacked, right? So we get to the Senate side, and the Senate approves them, which kind of creates a problem for the House because they specifically killed these rules for a reason. And then from there, it rolled into the state bill, and being that. But then the House brought out a piece of legislation that said, listen, one body can't override the other. Both have to agree. If the House kills it, then the Senate can't take it up, right? But if the House passes it and it goes to the Senate, so there's got to be uniformity in how they do it. And the Senate said, that doesn't make any sense. It's not how we've ever done it. And the House said, well, yeah, we don't do stuff that makes sense. We do crazy things. And the Senate said, oh, yeah, we do crazy things too. So they sent a bill over, 1205. I mean, this is Schoolhouse Rock stuff. This is interesting. And it created this sort of dichotomy between the two bodies where the rules got stuck and there was enough, neither one could move. And so, sorry to answer that question along the way, but that's it all kind of stemmed from that, right?
Yeah, I was wondering, would this all go away if the House got their office space?
Yeah. That is hilarious.
I mean, that's the old compromise, trade-off, business. And so all of the agencies are stuck in the middle because of this disagreement.
Right. That's, Mr. Chairman, and that's that was also kind of tied in there too, the office spaces. And my and so my understanding was that the Senate's response to the office space, they said, if you guys want an office run in the Senate, that's what they want. So.
Just a question from government 101. The legislature passes laws that dictate what rules need to be in place to implement that law. If the rules aren't put into place, the law still exists.
Right.
The law is there. If the law said everyone in Idaho is supposed to get a rebate of $1,000, and that was the law, and there's no rule that was put in place to do that, the law still exists. So somebody somewhere would have to figure out how to meet the intent of the legislation. This would be true for all those 700 rules or agencies and rules that need to be put in place. So it is a big mess in terms of function of carrying it out. But in terms of the laws themselves, our urban renewal laws as they exist are still in place.
So, Mr. Chairman, this is actually one of the areas that I'm not clear on that I need to get some guidance from. This will be a question for the governor's office. So you're right. Just because the law goes away, the statute still exists. My thought process is that if that were to happen, if some of these rules went away because they weren't reissued, then new rules would have to be promulgated later because the statute is still there. So that's how I think that process would work, but I don't know that for sure because I don't know that this has happened just exactly like this. Typically, if the reason a rule would go away is because they repealed a section of Idaho code. So when you do it that way, and of course the rule goes away, what happens if the rule goes away? What do you do with the statute? And I think that's the question. So is it just new rules?
The agencies work for the governor, and the governor would have to do it.
Mr. Chairman, yes, that's right. The governor would have to do it, but remember, the legislature still has to approve the rules. So a lot of times when the legislature leaves town, we did this in the governor's office when I was there. In fact, we did our best work when the legislature wasn't around. We would actually adopt temporary rules and operate for 9 months, and then when the legislature came in, they have to. And if they don't, the rule goes away. So I suspect that that would be kind of the same process here. But I don't know what happens to that statute absent a rule because it wasn't published in the newspaper. So
Mr. Chair, wasn't that the
Idaho
Code that was originally passed in 1989 following the lack of action by the legislature that the governor could adopt? Would carry through until the beginning of the next legislative session.
Chairman, that's correct. That's exactly what they're going to do. They're going to implement temporary rules as well, but it's going to be through the agencies republishing. So a rule that exists today, or a rule that exists before this law, before this change, now becomes a temporary rule. And it becomes a temporary rule by function of the agency as though it were a new temporary rule. It's just a rule that's been around for 20 years now. It's temporary, they didn't republish it. But that's the governor had that authority to direct the agencies to do exactly that. And so then it falls back into the process of, well, because it's temporary, and now it has to be approved by the legislature. So the amount, the sheer number of rules, they're going to have to evolve into the next session. They can barely get days it is at the beginning of the year. This is going to be, I don't know what they're going to do. Honestly, this is going to be very interesting because they now have 70,000 plus rules that they've got to go through, assuming they all get republished.
And you thought this last session was
that's their plan.
That is right.
And maybe that's why they need all that office space. Maybe there's a bigger plan.
Well, unless anyone has any more questions for Scott, we'll go ahead and consider the resolution.
I've got one question about the resolution. Scott, and so do you feel with the public comment, 60-day period and stuff, that everything will be resolved by the end of this July 31st date? Because that's where we're at with this contract,
right?
Do you feel confident that that can be done, or do we need to consider something different?
So, Mr. Chairman, what I would say about that is until I can get a better, I don't know exactly how long the comment period will be. And when we put this together, this was really before a lot of this came to light. So, I'll know within a few weeks, and I can let Ashley know, and if it has to go beyond that. And I think we're set up on task orders now, so it's a little easier to navigate some of these issues on the month-to-month stuff. It may be that it doesn't need to go any further than July 31st, but obviously during the session it will be, but I don't know if that means yet, so let me come back to you on that and to understand that. In fact, that's the thing that I'm trying to find out now. So our tax staff at the commission just got back in from extended vacation, which I'm trying to schedule some time with him to get some of these answers.
Mr. Chair, Scott, I have a question for you. So these rules get reauthorized on a temporary basis in July 1. That point from July 1 until the legislative session, we then continue to operate under those temporary rules. If the legislature does not approve those rules, is there any unintended consequences to agencies? And if so, what would it look like for MDC?
Mr. Chairman, there will be significant, if that scenario played out, the unintended consequences is whatever authority was held before is now gone. And so this goes back to the question of the statute. Right? So what happens? You've got a statute that authorizes it. And so while what I would probably say is if that were to happen, once the legislature leaves, the agency should just issue temporary rules again and then try to work through it over the course of the session the rest of the year, either with the legislature or whoever they've got to go to. But it would have to come from that agency as a temporary rule if your scenario played out. But so if that were to happen at the beginning of the session, you've got a 4-month period of in this sort of regulatory, can you operate, can you not? I mean, I think that's a lot of the questions that this item would have to be answered.
We done?
Your head up against that wall enough.
All right, well, Victor, would you read the title of the resolution, please?
Chairman, this is Resolution 19-020, a resolution of the Board of Commissioners of the Urban Renewal Agency of Meridian, Idaho, approving the task order for the rulemaking process following the 2019 legislative session between the Meridian Development Corporation and Primus MG LLC, authorizing the execution of the agreement by the chairman or vice chairman and secretary, authorizing any technical changes to the agreement, authorizing the administrator to take all necessary action required to implement the agreement and providing an effective date.
Thank you. Have a motion.
I'll move that we approve Resolution 19-020 as written in the record by council.
I'll second. It's a motion by Commissioner Bassalone and a second by Commissioner Farrell. Is there any further discussion? We'll call vote. Classic.
Aye.
Mr. Bassel.
Aye.
Commissioner Peter.
Aye.
Commissioner Carroll.
Aye.
Commissioner Bevan.
Aye.
Commissioner Burt.
Aye.
And I'm aye as well. So thanks, Scott. Appreciate your help.
I'll have an action plan over to Ashley in the next few days. Okay. I'm sure everyone will kind of outline some of this for you, so it's easier.
Scott, if we do need to review all those rules as a board, where we stand with them, I would suggest that we have a legislative committee set up so that we can work through it with you, so that we don't
summary back.
I was going to suggest maybe a 3-day retreat where everyone has to go and lock themselves in the room.
You know,
I think maybe like Huna.
at least start with the executive committee level, and then we'll look at what needs to be done, and if we need to do something a little more.
I'm just thinking if you didn't want to take on
that kind of set a record,
or even the executive committee, you would take all your time.
Okay, that sounds good.
Thanks, Scott.
Thank you, Scott. Okay, on to property and downtown parking committee update.
Mr. Chair, members of the board, we actually did not have a meeting last week, whenever it was. Yeah, I got canceled because there was nothing before us, so unless Ashley has some updates.
The reason why, members of the board, why we canceled it is we assumed we would be receiving an application fairly quickly from Heritage Hop House for the facade improvement. They're still working through some details at this point, so I don't have an idea when that date may be reset. We may not have another meeting until May at the regular meeting. As far as I know, we don't have any pressing business as a committee to discuss. I can give an update that for the UP site, they did send out their environmental team last week to look at the structures to be able to give us guidance on if we're able to get that lease secured, what we would need to do in order to address the environmental concerns with that removal. And with Nine Mile Floodplain, we received an email from FEMA. Their team was put on another project, so we're still waiting on that economic analysis. The goal is to have that by the end of June at this point, so we're a little delayed, but they're still committed to doing that for us. So the timing would be great for our budgeting process anyway, so I don't really see a huge issue at this time with that delay. Members of the board, as you may see, temporary fencing has been installed around 703 and 713 as they're removing the asbestos. That should be completed this week. The demo contract was awarded, and they're doing the interior prep for demo, which should be completed by Monday. And then the exterior demo begins on the 29th, beginning with 703 and 713. Plans were submitted last week to the city. It's my understanding it's an estimated 8-week review period at this point. That's what they've been told, so that's where things lie. The camera is set up on top of City Hall and is working. We've perfected like what the right rate is to be able to capture the demolition next week, and then it'll be placed on Heritage Hop House, the Heritage Building next week. Be able to capture it from that point of view. And we're still moving forward on getting things ready for the groundbreaking ceremony, so stay tuned for more details. 13th. And the last page of your packet, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. If you'll note, leadership committee, we need to probably reschedule next Tuesday morning since Dave and I will be at the leadership meeting in CUNA.
Oh,
there is an auditorium district open house on May 1st. If anyone's interested in getting a little bit more information, just be aware you will be hit up for some funding. So just fair warning there. That is happening on May 1st at West Ada School District. And then, as you can see, we have the groundbreaking listed here as well.
Mr. Chair, this is the easiest part of my job, because I have nothing to report.
Thank you. Thank you for filling in.
Yes.
Administrator,
please. Nothing further at this time. Thank you. Oh, yes, I guess that is some really great news we can share. Unbound will be relocating back into downtown Meridian. They closed closed on the their property, their new property, which is the AEI building next to the Compass VRT building. That happened on Friday. And many thanks to Chairman Winder for allowing that to happen. Should have let you announce that. I'm sorry.
Well, I didn't know if they said anything.
Gretchen said so. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I've just been letting them say what they were, you know, I didn't know when they were ready to announce or not. But yeah, so that's close.
When it hits our email, then it's
public. Chairman's report. I think most of you heard where Ashley and I will be at the Voice of Metro Chamber Commerce Leadership Conference next Sunday through Tuesday. And you be there? Who else from the city council will be there? Everybody except the time. Okay. All right. So, and then, other than that, I don't think I have anything further to report. Public comment?